Welcome to the Alpha One edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Alpha One antitrypsin deficiency community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, special correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're talking today with Dr. Paul Bolno, CEO of Wave Life Sciences in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Dr. Bolno has headed Wave since it was formed in 2012 by the merger of two previous companies, Antori and Chiralgen. Prior to Wave, Dr. Bolno was head of global business development for the oncology unit of GlaxoSmithKline. Dr. Bolno has a medical degree from Drexel University College of Medicine and is originally from Philadelphia. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for the time.
So we're here to talk about alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency. It's a complex disease and a very serious and debilitating one. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it is complicated because there's really two manifestations of this disease. We often talk about it, and obviously those families who are living with it know that the disease really has two tissues impacted. You have the liver as an organ that gets impacted and lung. Where we're focused on the treatment is really thinking about patients who are what are called homozygous, so ZZ patients. And these patients often have the manifestation of both lung disease and liver disease. Now, it's important to understand that while that's the manifestation in those two organs, the disease itself, the inception of it, is from the liver. So you have this protein, alpha-1 antitrypsin protein, which is a protective protein that's manufactured in the liver and then secreted. It leaves the liver and goes on to do a host of features, one of which is protecting our lung from insults that we result in breathing all the time. There's pollutants, there's toxins. Those insults to the lung are offset by this protective protein. When you have this mutation, and this what the mutation does is it causes a misfolding of this protein, and that protein will build up and get essentially stuck in the liver. When it gets stuck in the liver, it can damage liver cells, it can damage hepatocytes, and that goes on to cause our liver complications. And so, like we would with any medicine and disease, when we think about treatment paradigms, we often go back to the underlying biology and say, well, how do you want to treat this? There's a lot of work really in the current field now in two spaces. For a long time, to protect the lung, there was the field of what's called protein replacement therapy. So getting IV weekly infusions of alpha-1 antitrypsin protein to protect the lung and to keep baseline levels of this protein around. And in development, there's approaches to say, well, maybe if we knock out this protein altogether, then the liver can clear that bad protein and that'll protect the liver. So really two approaches, one that's silencing in the liver and protects the liver, one that's IV protein infusion and protects the lung.
Would you say that most research up until now in alpha-1 has focused on the lung aspects of the disease?
I think historically, yes. Really about how can we, you know, I think innovation on the protein infusion side is really how do you give it less frequently? We'll talk about real innovation as we think about editing and bringing the first RNA editing medicine.
Because it's considered a respiratory disease, primarily.
It is, although the liver complications, particularly in these patients over time, is consequential. And so there's been research in the field of what's called siRNA and other therapies about knocking out the protein to protect the liver. The challenge in both of those, if you imagine if you're using siRNA to protect the liver, I think about it a lot as like turning off the spigot on a faucet. So you kind of prevent the protein from getting made altogether by knocking it out. So you kind of turn that spigot off. But guess what? Now you've turned off the production of a really important protein. So those patients need to go on to get IV protein replacement. So when we step back and ask the question of, well, what's the ideal treatment paradigm for alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency? We said, well, the best approach would be, what if you could go back into that cell in the liver, and rather than turning off the manufacturing of the protein to fix the liver, what if we could edit that transcript? That transcript is what makes the protein. If we could edit it, then you can get a healthy protein that's manufactured where it's supposed to be at the right place, at the right time inside the cell and protect the lung. But importantly, if you correct it, it no longer is misfolded. And therefore that protein no longer builds up in the liver and the body can do exactly that and clear it. And so this was the premise behind what the field is now called RNA editing. So this field of editing RNA. And this is really the first example that we've used in advancing this novel class of medicines forward.
And in fact, as you mentioned, WVE-006, which is your investigational therapy, is the first RNA editing medicine ever tested in humans for any disease.
It is. And it's an exciting for WAVE. It's exciting for the nucleic acid field. It's exciting for patients with alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency because we can reimagine what a therapy looks like where you use correction as opposed to having two different therapies to treat the disease.
Right. So by editing and correcting the protein in the liver, can you talk about just how does that work? What are the mechanisms for this?
So we've shown this, obviously, now that it's in the clinic. We went back and did a bunch of work to get to the clinic. And what we showed there is we could get high levels of editing efficiency, meaning that we could use an editing construct that's already in all of our cells. So we call it endogenous RNA editing, meaning we don't have to inject a protein to try to do editing into the body. We can take advantage of that in our cells in the body. There are these enzymes that do editing. So they fix, they correct a site on a transcript. So what we can do is deliver our short oligonucleotide. We use GalNAc, which delivers it directly to the liver cell. It's delivered subcutaneously, so just an injection in the skin. Mm-hmm. And we think it can be pretty infrequent. That then targets the liver cell.
And right now, people who are on replacement therapy, it's every week. Exactly.
So we definitely think we can do it less frequently than the current standard of care. And importantly, while they're getting the protein replacement weekly, it's not correcting the misfolded protein from building up in the liver. So what we showed preclinically was our constructs can deliver to the liver cell. They can edit with a high degree of efficiency. They don't do what's called off-target editing. So the beauty of this RNA construct is it's a single-site edit. So we don't get what are called bystander edits. You don't get other proteins made. So highly specific, high degree of editing. And we replicated what you want to see with protein infusion. We see high levels, well above 11 micromolar protein made by the body endogenously in these animal models. We've even gone so far as to show that that protein's functional. So we ran assays that tell us that that new protein that we're making actually can be protective. So as we talk about the lung. And then ultimately we did the last piece, which is, do we see the clearance of that bad protein from the liver? So we could answer the question of protecting the lung based on the high levels of functional protein. But we also showed that when you fix that, when you edit that and correct that protein, it doesn't build up in the liver and actually gets the bad proteins cleared out of the liver. So a single therapy that corrects both lung and liver.
And at what stage are you in the trial?
So as you mentioned, not only is this the first RNA editing medicine to go to clinic, it's the first novel treatment for alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency to go in the clinic. And so we just announced last week that our clinical trial applications were accepted to start the first human clinical trials. So
and where will those trials take place?
In Europe and Australia.
Okay, and how soon do you think this can be up and running? You have to recruit, of course.
So patients. Not only do we think it'll be up and running, we'll be dosing in this quarter, so in terms of timing. So this fourth quarter we'll be dosing. And we also provided guidance that based on the trial design, so this trial is called Restoration, we'll be having clinical data in 2024. So
Wonderful.
We'll have patient data next year.
And just to wrap up, because I know we're also running out of time, Takeda is also pursuing therapy to deal with the liver aspect of alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency through its TAK-999. Can you speak briefly about how your approach differs from Takeda's approach?
Absolutely. And Takeda and other approaches that target the liver are really, you know, as we were suggesting, are these silencing approaches. So very good at knocking out the protein production from the liver. But as we discussed, one of the challenges is if you turn off that spigot to the liver, you prevent the production of healthy protein. So these patients need to go on to have IV protein replacement. So essentially, you're giving two therapies to treat one disease. Our view is to simplify this because we have this unique capability to edit, to say, well, if we can edit the transcript, we can, one, fix the protein so you still produce it, it still protects the lung and other tissues, but also because it's not misfolded, it clears the liver. And as we've seen preclinically, we've demonstrated that it clears the liver. And importantly, another aspect we saw early on is as you repeat dose, which is why this idea of giving it, while you want it infrequent, one of the benefits of repeat dosing has been we see that as you fix cells in the liver, that those cells become healthy again. And as those cells become healthy again, they can start producing more protein. And so if we think about a treatment paradigm over time where you're fixing, truly repairing the liver by correction, this approach will allow us to both heal the liver and create a healthy protein, but also protect the lung in tandem. And it's, you know, the first example of being able to do that.
Wonderful. Dr. Bono, on that note, I'd like to conclude. Thank you so much for the time you've taken to speak with us. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.